back together again. You and I kicking off a brand new week, Monday, August 19th, 2024 on Connecticut Today, where we provided you with the latest info on Sunday's record-setting rain in Connecticut with WICC Chief Meteorologist Paul Peorick. He explained what exactly happened and why. Beacon Falls, Derby, Seymour State Rep. Nicole Claridis Detria and Monroe First Selectman Terry Rooney called in to talk about the damage they've seen in their areas. And we also aired part of an afternoon news conference featuring local, state, and national leaders, including Governor Ned Lamont and Oxford First Selectman George Temple.
All right, quarter past two. The gentleman you just heard, half of traffic and weather together all day right here on WICC. Paul Peorick joining us right now from the Weather Center. Going to bring in Paul a handful of times this afternoon to explain to us exactly what happened yesterday. Mr. Peorick, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
And good afternoon. Doing very well. How about you?
Good, Paul. Good. So what exactly happened yesterday? Because some of the forecasts I saw from everybody, I mean, I saw rain in the forecast, but we obviously know what happened. So what happened? Was this a last-minute thing? Was there a shift happening? What happened?
Well, first of all, let me say this, and I mentioned this earlier this morning. Nobody, and I do mean nobody, saw this coming. Nobody.
Yeah.
What we had was the juiced air, obviously very humid, very warm air, and we had a disturbance moving in by late morning and early afternoon, and that just kicked off the showers. And what happened, Paul, is it's almost like railroad tracks that form along the line, and this line extended from Stamford to Bethel to Reading, to Newtown, to Oxford, to Southbury, to Monroe. And along this line, this track, we had a line of very heavy rain set up, and it wouldn't move. It just stayed along that line in a scenario very reminiscent of April of 06, where in Bridgeport we had more than a half foot of rain, whereas in Westport, Norwalk, they had nothing. So it's, you know, frustrating is the word, sure, to be along that path when you realize that 5 to 10 miles east or west of there, you know, you're getting very little. So I live in Fairfield, and we had the showers. We had the rain. It was a normal Saturday, or Sunday, I should say. Cloudy, showers, rain, you know, no big deal, no rain, no water in the basement. But along this line, this track, if you will, the heavy rain set up, we call that training, and it just would not move, and it just dumped unbelievable amounts of rain along that path.
Yeah, it's wild, Paul. It's reminiscent to me of we had that huge snowstorm about 8-9 years ago, and I was working at another radio station, and we had a sleep there, and Hamden, where I was, was like the epicenter of the storm, and it was like 40 inches. Well, I had to go into New York that night, and I remember slogging along I-95 South, and the minute I crossed the Westport line, the roads, the roads were dry. There was no snow.
Yes, February 8th of 2013, Milford had more than 3 feet of snow. Hamden had nearly 40 inches.
Yeah.
Fairfield had about 3 feet. You go a little west of that, Westport, Norwalk, and the amounts were just much less than that. So you're right.
Yeah.
This was incredible. And to give you a little history, you know, we use the word historic a lot, right?
Yeah.
But this was indeed historic. Prior to yesterday, the one-day record rain in the state was on this date, believe it or not, August 19th of 1955, where in Burlington they had 12.8 inches of rain. That was during Hurricane Diane, which was a week after Connie back in 55, where that delivered more than 2 feet of rain in about a week. So you get the idea, this was indeed very historic.
Paul, thank you, and we'll check back with you in just a bit. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Sad news today after the torrential, the monsoon-like rain yesterday that hit much of the valley. A second person now confirmed having passed away because of that. So it officially becomes a deadly storm. The repairs and rebuilding set to get underway. We heard from many of our elected leaders in a news conference earlier today, and we'll replay a part of that next hour in case you missed it, that there is going to be a push for federal funding here as you have road damage here, the state checking to see the structural integrity of dams and other facilities in the area. Joining us right now was Republican State Rep. Nicole Claridis Dittria. She represents State Rep. District number 105, Beacon Falls, Derby, and Seymour. A lot of those areas, of course, slammed by yesterday's storm. Nicole, hi. It's Paul on WICC. Thanks for joining me this afternoon. I appreciate it.
Hi, Paul. How are you today?
I'm well, Nicole. And give us kind of an on-the-ground look at what you've been able to see in your district and hear from family, friends, relatives, constituents. What do you think of this whole thing?
Well, we heard, you know, last night we had these torrential rains all day yesterday night. And on Route 67 in Seymour, my family's shopping plaza was one of the biggest areas hit.
Mm-hmm.
We had devastating flooding in the lower half of our plaza. And then basically everybody else has some sort of water damage, whether it's in their main business or lower. We have various bridges that are out on Route 67 in Seymour. Route 34 by the Housatonic River has chunks of it literally out and not passable at this point. We met with Senator Blumenthal this morning. He came into Seymour. And we're waiting, as you heard, for the governor to declare a state of emergency, which he did. And now the feds, Senator Blumenthal, and our delegation can get moving, getting us some federal funds.
You know, Nicole, I was talking with some relatives online, just texting back and forth, and it was an odd day yesterday because I had people, like obviously you did in the area, saying, oh my God, I've never been in rain like this and standing water. Yet, as our meteorologist Paul Piorek said a few minutes ago, you could have gone literally 2 or 3 miles in either direction, and it was almost nothing save for some light rain. So I'm sure this is part of the reason that this caught a lot of people off guard here.
It did. And you can even look at our neighbors, Beacon Falls. They didn't get anything, hardly any rain at all. And then look what happened to Oxford. So we were just at the right in the right path at the wrong time.
So now you mentioned the process, Nicole, as to what happens here. So once the paperwork gets underway, and I think they did say that at an earlier news conference, we have to come up with some sort of a dollar figure here, right?
Yes, correct. And I assume that, as usually what happens, towns have to document everything, you know, that's damaged in their town, and then come up with, you know, all that has to be submitted, and then the feds have to go ahead and approve whatever they're going to approve or not.
And you know, it's times like this, Nicole, where the occurrence itself may be bad, and in this case it was deadly, unfortunately, for two individuals. But you really, and I'm looking at this from a distance because I haven't been there in a few months, but you really look and see how communities gather together, and these are the times where it doesn't matter who's voting for who, who's a Democrat, who's a Republican. There are things bigger than that, and we're seeing this right now all across the area.
Oh, we are. I mean, our plaza is all mom-and-pop stores, and it's called Claridis Village. My dad and his two brothers named it that 75 years ago for a reason, because we're a village. We're a village of people, and we're family, and we take care of one another. I cannot sing the praises of our EMS, our fire, our police, our first select woman, Anne-Marie Dragonis in Seymour. All came together to, they had 100 calls, I believe, the fire department last night, and saved so many people in their homes that were, the you know, subject to flooding. It's just, I can't say enough. It chokes me up to know that our community always comes, and we have our surrounding communities that have all reached out to help us in any way they can.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, finally, Nicole, they say, you know, out of bad times can come good. And I'm sure for fire departments, EMS, of the size that you folks see in the valley, very active, but not all that big. A lot of these guys and gals are volunteers. Maybe going down the road, this can be kind of a learning experience when, in the worst of the worst that we see that can happen, maybe what tweaks can we make and maybe get more funding and more manpower for some of these first responders?
Yes, always. And we're always, you know, we're always learning for whatever crisis or event that we go through. We never want to go through this, but the most important thing is to try and be as prepared for it as we can to minimize, you know, the devastation that'll happen next. Hopefully it won't be so bad.
Yeah. Republican State Rep. Nicole Claridis Dittria, General Assembly District 105, Beacon Falls, Seymour, and Derby. Nicole, thank you. We appreciate the time, and we'll be in touch. Take care.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Take care. All right, there you go. Monroe First Selectman Terry Rooney joins us to give us an update on his town. Hey, Terry, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. What is the update in Monroe? What do you have for us?
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yes.
For the update.
Mm-hmm.
So we just issued a state of emergency in Monroe after gathering all the information in our on our damage in our streets. We felt the need to do a state of emergency. The conditions of the road are significantly rough in the area of Stevenson. You know, Route 34, many people have seen pictures of what has happened near the Stevenson Dam, but the dam on both sides is compromised by Route 34. We have crews out there working diligently, blocking the roads and things of that nature, but it's going to be a little bit of time before we get it back up and running. We're working with the state. I just came off of a call with Dennis, Department of Homeland Security, to speak about how things are going to work through this terrible situation. And, you know, right now we're in a little bit of a holding pattern. You know, we're coming out of the bad weather and going into the recovery and the mm-hmm. healing. But, you know, that's where we are. That's where we are.
Terry, so are there areas of 34 and maybe some other roads in your town that you're looking at that are going to be down for the count for major chunks of time? I mean, I would imagine that there's got to be some significant runoff and settling here before crews even get out there to try and repair some of these thoroughfares.
Yeah, so some of the town roads we've worked on, we've got a couple of roads open. Turkey Roost is one of the roads that was closed due to water damage. We've got that relatively open. We're working on Hammertown Road. The main roads that are really blocked off for a significant amount of time are definitely 34, which mm-hmm. is a state road. And we have a road in Stevenson, Cottage Street, that's pretty much been decimated by, you know, the heavy rain and flooding. So I would say those two are the major ones. We have a few others, but those are the major ones that I can see are going to take a significant amount of time to rebuild the infrastructure underneath. You know, what happens with these situations is not just that you're repairing the road, you're mm-hmm. repairing the earth underneath.
Yeah.
So all of that has to be excavated and known and made solid before a road can go back. And that's the scary part that we're dealing with here. All of our roads are that are dangerous are being blocked off, but people are sometimes cutting past that.
Oh.
And they need to understand that the water does hollow out underneath the road. Although it could look perfectly sound, we have deemed that it's not. So you can drive over and actually get, you know, a sinkhole type situation. So it's a very dangerous situation. It's very different than, you know, a road deteriorating or a road getting broken up. This is the underneath. This is the infrastructure that holds the top layer of that road that's deteriorated. So in many cases, the top layer or some of the subsoil can be in place, but underneath it's very, very insecure. So, you know, like I've said to every radio host or anybody that's called me, anybody that's going through our town and sees something blocked off, it's blocked off for a reason. Heed that warning. Please don't proceed and find an alternate route.
Absolutely. Common sense. Terry Rooney, First Selectman of Monroe. Terry, thanks. You have our number, so with any new info, give us a call. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Yesterday, ironically, was the 69th anniversary of terrible flooding right here that devastated our towns. The Little River became a big river. Mm-hmm. And it is happening with more and more frequency. Just a year ago, a lot of us were there in the Connecticut River Valley, and they had been irrigating it due to severe drought. And there they were 2 weeks later, and the fields are all underwater. And it's just a reminder that we have to hang together at a time like this, especially given the tragedy. George, right here in your town in particular, those two women swept away. It's just incredible what happened there. And it reminds you a little bit of how we work together. I mean, starting here, George, and you working with your you know, fellow first selectmen and mayors, the public works department, the first responders, the first ones there. I love the regional assistance. I love the other towns coming in and providing what additional support they can as well. You know, Brenda was there. We were on with the Emergency Operations Center, you know, almost immediately. And I'll tell you, you know, how that works. That works with Garrett Ucolito and his team from DOT, Department of Transportation. They have to go out there. They have to check the roads. They have to check the bridges for safety. make sure going forward, as you heard from George and otherwise, when you see those yellow cones, stop. You may say, oh, my gosh, look at that road. It looks like it's okay to me. I don't see much water. There can be a culvert under there. Water can be going under there. That thing can go anytime. Please pay special attention there. You know, Katie and our group at Deep, they're taking a special look right now, checking all the different dams. Make sure those dams are holding. Right now, as you heard from Katie, those dams are holding. We've got them reinforced. Reinforced a lot since 1955. And able to keep us safe. We were there, Brenda, with public health. You know, why is public health there? Well, they got to pay special attention to our nursing homes, special attention to our hospitals, those most at need, most vulnerable. You know, we're there, obviously, with Eversource and UI. Make sure the electricity is on. Where do we have the most needs? Make sure that we can respond accordingly. And I'm really proud that we've been able to work very closely with the legislative delegation you have here, fighting every day for this community and this region. And I got to say the same thing for our federal delegation. You know, Senator Blumenthal is here. We are filing for emergency declaration. Make sure we get to the front of the line. Make sure that front of the line means we get every resource we can to make sure that Oxford and neighboring towns can get back on their feet. It also, as Garrett tells me, accelerates the permitting process. So if we have to do any special repairs to, say, those bridges or dams, we can get to the front of the line there as well. And we are trying to think down the road in terms of resilience, what we can do to make sure this is a lot less likely to happen again. We have plenty of time to discuss that, but right here now, I just want to thank the people standing behind me, thank those first responders. Our hearts goes out to those that lost their lives, and we're doing everything we can to make sure. I can't tell you this will never happen again. I can tell you we're going to make sure that we make it less frequent and make sure it's less severe, and that's something we're working on every day. Thanks, everybody.
Governor, hey Governor, was enough done to alert people in advance? I'd like to ask George that, too.
Yeah, if you don't mind, there are a couple of things I forgot. You may not know about our town. Let me tell you about our town. Since we had this problem, I can't tell you how many private citizens called and requested that they help out any way that we can. Well, of course, right now is not the time to do it, but that's Oxford. That's the way they are. And there are a few people here. When you all leave, we're going to have to do the very difficult work of getting back to normal, one of which, one individual, Arnie Jensen, who's also on the Board of Selectmen, will be working together along with Dave McCain. And I want to thank my administrative assistant, Kristen Rosa. She did a great job during this. And, of course, Scott Pelletier, who is our emergency services coordinator. He did a wonderful job. And Jim Haliva, who has to put together the bills, and hopefully we get it paid.